It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
CBS News has learned that the FBI and FAA are looking into a breach of the air traffic control system tonight after someone broadcast a threat to attack the U.S. Capitol over the radio frequencies used by pilots. CBS's Jeff Begays has exclusive new reporting tonight.
The chilling threat, obtained exclusively by CBS News, was heard by multiple air traffic controllers on Monday afternoon in New York. Sources tell CBS News the Pentagon and other agencies were briefed today about the digitized voice recording and believe it was designed to suggest hitting the Capitol on the same day Congress is set to count the Electoral College results. The recording refers to Qasem Soleimani, the Iranian general killed in a U.S. drone strike ordered by President Trump and came on the one-year anniversary of his death.
You look over his past. His past, he's been called a monster. And he was a monster. And he's no longer a monster. He's dead.
But in Iran, Soleimani is revered. And Iranian officials have vowed revenge. CBS News has learned that while the government does not believe the warning of an attack is credible, it is being investigated as a breach of aviation frequencies and the threat would be a crime. Experts say the intrusion is concerning because it could affect the instructions pilots get about how and where to fly planes. Sources tell CBS News that air traffic controllers were reminded today to report anything unusual, like if a plane deviates from its flight path or any type of threat. The FAA is working with law enforcement. The FBI is not commenting.
All right, Sandy Rios with you on this really historic Wednesday morning, January the 6th of 2021, when all eyes are looking to Washington. And that was a pretty startling report that came from CBS last night. You heard them say they don't think that's a credible threat. So it may not be a credible threat. But I suppose the point would be, it might be a credible threat, I could add. But the point would be that our enemies are paying a lot of attention to what's going on here. And I think that's one of the things that many of us have been aware of, is that as our leadership changes and becomes less bold, the bullies, the wicked regimes of the world will seek revenge, and they will come after us. Even if they weren't seeking revenge, we're the crown jewel. Any of the totalitarian, despotic regimes around the globe who can take down or injure the United States, that's a huge badge of honor. And so if they smell, sniff weakness, you can imagine that they will exactly do that. President Trump has been a strong president on national security. He's done a lot of bold things, including authorizing the killing of Soleimani, who was a terrorist who caused so many Americans to die through battle and all kinds of altercations with Iran. And so that's just one story. Because I don't want to depress you, but I want to be realistic with you. I've thought a lot about the prophets of the Old Testament. I'm not claiming I'm a prophet. I suppose I'm a model of some. That's kind of what I do. I speak forth. I tell forth. The definition is either to foretell or to tell forth, to tell people what's going on, to shout it out from the housetops. Foretelling, that's a whole different thing. I don't claim that at all. But I'm saying that the prophets of old who did both, they never brought good news. I seldom brought good news, and yet they were steadfast. They had to just tell people what was happening, and a lot of times God would say to them, especially to Ezekiel, whether they listen or they don't listen, you must speak the truth. And that's where I find myself. And I always do that with you. I always tell you the truth, balanced with the knowledge of an almighty God who really is sovereign. I am not, I'm always not inclined to sit down in my easy chair and say, well, God's in charge. That is not what I'm talking about ever. I know he's in charge, but I can't imagine that we don't play our role in this. And I think it's certainly borne out in Scripture. If you don't eat, if you don't work, you don't eat. That's one little principle in there. We have to do things in this life. We have to be salt and light. We have to make a difference where we are. We have to preach the gospel. We have to do all kinds of things. So we have really worked hard. I think genuine believers in this country have really risen up. That's not to say that there aren't some genuine believers who haven't. Maybe they just haven't been awake yet. But I do believe that God's people have been awakened in many ways. I was on that prayer call, session with Tony Perkins last night. And it was a public meeting. It wasn't just me. I was just one of the listeners. And it was so moving. I thought, I was watching the news and I thought, you know, I really think I just want to pray. This is not helping me emotionally. Not that that's the big rule. But what I need is God. What I need is a really major dose of his presence. And so if I don't have a chance to get back to this today, that is really what I would suggest to you, regardless of what I'm going to say to you. Even though, you know, I think sometimes people don't quite comprehend when I say that God, or when other people say that God needs to be central, that he is our ultimate hope. He always is. That's never been any different. It's just that we have all these crutches. We've had great lives. We've had, you know, nice cars and money and health for the most part, because we have great health care. We've had peace. We've had churches and church activities. And I don't think that's bad. I think God has blessed us as a nation. But I do think that we have forgotten. It is true that we have forgotten our emphasis. It's a matter of emphasis. And so it's time to recalibrate our thinking. And this much I do know, even though it may make no sense to you at all right now, let me just say to you that you love God with your not only your heart, but your mind. So I'm telling your mind right now, because I've experienced this, that if you trust him, genuinely, if you've trusted him and you continue to trust him and you pledge with your mouth, even if you don't feel it because you're worried, that you will trust him no matter what happens, God will be present and he will be with you through no matter what comes, whether it's your personal life, things falling about apart, or whether it's our country or whatever dangers may lie ahead. And so even if you don't haven't experienced that, you can trust God. I remember this great song I used to sing years ago. It said, "If you, when you can't see his hand, trust his heart." And so I'm telling you that that's true, and I'm encouraging you to intellectually, even if you can't feel it right now because of the stress and the worry, to tell God that you do trust him. Just an exercise of faith. Trust me, I've done that so many times. I don't know, God, but I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. And he's proven faithful through so many years. So, all right, I could talk all day about that, and I probably should, but I'm going to get to some details here. In regard to the danger, you know, these congressmen and senators, now we have something like 13 senators who are objecting to the electors today, and we have, I believe, over 100 congressmen. We're not sure the exact number. They're going to be objecting to the presentation of the electors. This is a bold move on their part, and it's a brave move. I'll just give you a practical example. You all know that Josh Hawley was, his home was breached, I guess I should say, by Antifa. His wife and newborn baby were there, and he was in Missouri. And so this is, no one was harmed, but this is the kind of the precursor, I think. And so these men that are, and women that are stepping up, they're taking a risk. They've been sent a letter, by the way, by the, I think it's the Sergeant of Arms, or it's the security at the Capitol, that they are urged to take the underground tunnels today and not go outside, to use the underground parking. Special precautions are in place because there's great danger in doing what's right now. And you do know that, right? So, but I'm saying to you, God calls us to be courageous. There's nowhere in Scripture where he says, avoid trouble. You know, please people, don't say anything controversial. Stay safe. Wear a mask. Worry about your health. Worry about your personal safety to the point of not doing what's right. He never says that. He never says that. He calls us to be courageous, putting on the whole armor of God. And so a lot of people are courageous, and they're actually in D.C. right now at Freedom Plaza. Lots of people gathered yesterday, and to talk to you a little bit about the dangers there. There was a big clash between protesters and the police. And my indication is, I could tell you a lot of detail here, but it looks as though, my indication is from what I'm reading here, is that the D.C. police have been attacking Trump supporters. And so that's been very discouraging. And as a matter of fact, the Proud Boy leader, who is Henry Tario Enrique, I think he's part black, I think he's half black, I'm not sure, but he has the appearance of being black. He was arrested as he was driving through the tunnel into D.C. I don't know if you've been there, but there's a big tunnel as you leave Reagan Airport and you drive in. And so they arrested him, and they charged him with destroying or burning a Black Lives Matter flag that had been taken down from a church in December. Now, it doesn't say if he took that down from the church, but he does confess that he burned a Black Lives Matter flag. And so they have banned him from the city. He can't do anything. He's the leader of the Proud Boys. The judge said that he could not be in D.C. at all because he could vandalize other signs appertaining to Black Lives Matter. There are Black Lives Matter banners, posters, placards, signs in front of people's homes and the like throughout Washington, the judge said. So I'm denying your request. Now, isn't it interesting that American flags are fine? Black Lives Matter protesters and Antifa can burn and destroy American flags, and that's okay. But you can get arrested for burning a Black Lives Matter flag. So that's one of the problems. Also, the Proud Boys always stay at Hotel Harrington in Washington, and they decided that they would shut down for this weekend. Many people feel that the mayor has put pressure on people. They've closed indoor dining. I've heard that there's price gouging going on. Nevertheless, thousands of Trump supporters, people who love America, love the Constitution, are in D.C., and the president will speak today to them, by the way, at 11 or 12 o'clock. If you are there, I hope you are there, at the Ellipse, the gates open this morning, and the events will likely start at about 10 or 11. The president will speak around 11 or 12, and after he speaks, people will march to the Capitol, and there's going to be several stages and all kinds of groups. If you want more details, go to TrumpMarch.com or JerichoMarch.com, because there's a whole group, you know, leading prayer around the Capitol. That's JerichoMarch.com or TrumpMarch.com. And by the way, if you are there and happen to be listening, or you're planning to go today, or if you have a comment about that, I would take your phone call just because it'd be interesting to talk to you. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Now, you're going to ask me about the Georgia Senate race, and I have to tell you that when I got up this morning, I saw the banner on Fox News that Raphael Warnock had won the Georgia U.S. Senate runoff, so that she'd beaten Kelly Loeffler. But then a little bit later, I saw that Warnock is projected to win the Georgia Senate race. They had to back off. Sounds like election night, doesn't it? But the race is really close. Let's see. The last count I have here is John Ossoff is ahead of Perdue by 50.2. He's got 50.2 percentage points to produce 49.8. So that's just four-tenths of a point separating them. Raphael Warnock at 50.6 and Kelly Loeffler at 49.4. So that's about 1 point separating them. Kelly's still fighting, but I'd say it's neck and neck. There's a lot more to say about what's going on in Georgia. Kind of same old, but it's kind of important. So stay tuned. Also joining us in just a minute is going to be Ken Blackwell, the former Secretary of State of Ohio, who is in the middle of all of this. And I'm looking forward to asking him some questions. So stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
What would it be like if every person knew that they were created in the image of God?
After 2 years in the making, American Family Studios proudly presents In His Image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality.
There are only two sexes, male or female. If you're conceived with a Y chromosome, you will develop into a male.
In His Image is a documentary featuring life-changing testimonies of former LGBT individuals.
In my most formative years of development of sexuality, I went through a brutal time of sexual distortion, molestation.
Visit inhisimage.movie to watch In His Image.
Well, everybody, welcome to this unboxing video as we unbox my hormone blockers.
In His Image from American Family Studios is available now for free viewing. Visit inhisimage.movie.
You're made in the image of God.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Mike Pence, Vice President of the United States. Vice President Pence serves as second in command, first in the presidential line of succession, and President of the U.S. Senate. Matthew 20:26 reminds us of the qualities of a good leader. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Mike Pence as he serves the president and our country. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Feeling stuck? At Liberty University, we know you've waited long enough to move forward. So we're making sure the resilient career you want is closer than you think. Choose from more than 450 degrees, 100% online, for one of the lowest tuition rates in the nation. We've kept it the same for 5 years and counting, and we'll give you college credit for your life experience so you can save time and money. Stop feeling stuck and start moving toward the future you want with a school you can trust. Learn more by texting DEGREE to 49595. That's DEGREE to 49595.
A gang of angry goons stormed the Washington, D.C. home of Senator Josh Hawley. The senator was not at home, but his wife and newborn baby were, and they were terrified. The group known as Shutdown D.C. screamed threats, vandalized the senator's property, and tried to pound open the front door. The Washington Post, however, described the protest as a peaceful candlelight vigil. However, video, which you can see on my website, shows it was anything but peaceful. What happened outside Senator Hawley's home was not a protest. It was an attempt to intimidate and bully a duly elected senator. And it's not the first time this has happened. Just the other day, Senator Mitch McConnell's home was targeted. So I recommend that every law-abiding lawmaker in America arm themselves. You have a responsibility to protect your property and your family from these terrorist goons. You can read more about this story on my website, toddstearns.com.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
We're hoping to defend the Constitution. I mean, you had several of these six states that have been debated and talked about for the last 9 weeks since Election Day. You had several of these states where they clearly went around the state legislature, which the Constitution, as you know, Shannon, is very clear. Article 1, Section 4 says the time, manner, and place for holding elections in the respective states shall be determined by the legislature thereof. You had Secretary of State, you had governors, you had state Supreme Courts dominated by Democrats, you had county commissioners and county clerks. They all changed the election law. This is the fundamental issue here. When you violate the premise of all this and go around the legislature determining how elections are held, that's the main thrust of our arguments. And I think you're going to see House members object to several House members, dozens and dozens, maybe over 100 if it comes to a vote, which I think it will in some of these states. But several House members object to the acceptance of electors from six states. Well, I hope we prevail. I hope we convince enough people not to seat the electors from states that held elections in an unconstitutional fashion. This is not about showboating. This is about doing our duty. This is about our oath to the United States Constitution, where in these four states in particular, four of the six, it is clear that they went around the state legislature and did not adhere to the Constitution when they administered their election. So that is what we hope to accomplish. And look, this idea that we can't win, look, I understand the odds are long, but there's a reason you kick the ball off and play the game. I mean, for goodness sake, everyone thought Clemson was going to beat Ohio State a few nights ago. Good thing Ohio State showed up for that game. They wound up kicking their tail and they're in the national championship. So I think we need to remember that. It's our duty to present the arguments, to defend the Constitution, to respect the Constitution, and then let's see how the votes fall. I understand it's a long shot, but we should do that because that is our duty.
Congressman Jim Jordan, one of our heroes, and he's, of course, one of the many. We think there will be over 100 congressmen that will object today and 13 or 14 senators. I just got in my inbox a statement that 37 Republican members are saying they're going to sustain the objections of these. I don't know where they fall in the lineup here, but I bet Ken Blackwell does. Ken is the former Secretary of State of Ohio, and you must have laughed at that. Ken, I'm so dumb about sports. It was a football joke he made, right? That was football, right?
Yeah, well, look, Sandy, my attitude and my remarks today are framed by something Winston Churchill said. You know, he said that success is not final, failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. And what I just heard Jim Jordan say was that there were a sufficient number of members of Congress and on the House side and the Senate side that have the courage to continue this fight in a responsible and dedicated way. The Constitution matters. It is what frames our republic. It is what is at the center of the rule of law. And we must not be thrown off track by this notion that what we're doing is running around with our hair on fire. You know, all you have to do is remember that in the years of 2001, 2005, and 2017, Democrats challenged the Electoral College votes following elections of 2000, 2004, and 2016. And despite this, you know, you have mainstream media and politicians and anti-Trumpers alike chastising members of Congress and the president who believe that there was substantial irregularities, illegalities, and trans-constitutional actions that distorted the final tally. We have a responsibility as citizens. Members of Congress have a responsibility as our elected representative to push for transparency and a full examination of the facts. And we haven't had that yet. And requesting a 10-day examination is not unreasonable, not unconstitutional, not unlawful. It is responsible.
Absolutely. Of course, that's what Ted Cruz and his group of 10 or 11 senators are asking. Ken, it just makes perfect sense. They're asking for a committee of members of the House, members of the Senate, and also members of the Supreme Court to actually look at the evidence.
And for 10 days. They're not asking forever. They're saying 10 days. That should give us an opportunity as a country to gain confidence in the final tally. It is in advance of January the 20th. You know, the president can continue his administration. The transitional process can continue. But at the end of the day, whoever is seated on the 20th of January would have a country that feels better about the integrity of the process that got them there. Short of that, you're going to have a dangerously divided country with, you know, millions, tens of millions of American citizens who feel that the process that got Joe Biden, if he is to prevail, there was not one of integrity and legitimacy. And the battle will continue.
You know, well, to be specific, 1 o'clock today, and I want to say to all of you listening, there may be some other outlets, but C-SPAN is going to show the whole thing. So maybe One News Now will also, maybe Newsmax, but C-SPAN is for sure. And usually they don't have commercial breaks, and so that's maybe a good outlet to check. Now, if they start interrupting, leave them. But the whole world needs to see this. And they're going to be objecting. As I understand, we needed congressmen and senators to object to, we wanted six states. So far, we only have three Republicans who are objecting to, objecting to three different states. The problem is, Ken, Kelly Loeffler was going to be objecting to Georgia, and I don't think she can be there today, can she? Is she still?
Yeah, she's. That's a good question. I actually think she can be there today.
Okay.
And what I'm hearing from a number of lawyers is that she can until she is filling out a term, and so until those results are in, she can exercise her responsibility. But look, I think it's important for us to underscore that the Constitution states that Congress must confirm election results regardless of the victor. And that is so important for folks to understand. This is not extraordinary on the part of that 140 members of the House and the 12 or 13 members of the Senate. This is going to be a process that will, at minimum, have a little sunlight, but we are working to make sure that there is a lot of sunlight on this process. I think it's also important for your listeners to understand that they shouldn't stop in those six states pressing those state legislators and legislatures. I say this, Sandy, because I am proud and pleased with the 140 odd state legislators from target states who sent a letter to Vice President Pence. They need to formally, as state legislatures, they're in session. They need a emergency resolution that formally requests this of Congress. In modern day technology, that can be transmitted in a matter of minutes or hours. So, continue to keep the metal to the pedal with state legislators and legislatures, as well as members of Congress.
Yes, and just to clarify what you just said, the big excuse for state legislatures, where these six states where there's been so much evidence of fraud, is that their governors would not call a special session. And so now almost all of them, maybe one exception, are back in session. That's what you're saying. Now there's
That's
no
right.
excuse.
That's
now
right.
they can
no
do something.
Excuse.
And Ken, along with that, Wisconsin has actually introduced a resolution to vote to, decertify.
Decertify, right.
But now what does that mean? If the vote takes place tomorrow and they are accepted, their slate of electors for Joe Biden, and then they vote Thursday to decertify, well, I don't understand what happens there. Do you?
Well, that's why we have to see these things as complementary. The members of Congress have to stretch this process out to the extent that is legal and within the rules of the Congress, and they can do that. And at that point, look, this is what's important. If the letter to the vice president from those individual state legislators, is nice, and it beats a blank, it beats nothing. But the reality is that if he gets an official resolution, that actually puts ammunition in his gun.
Yeah.
And he, in fact, is in a much stronger position, and we are in a stronger position to ask him to do the right thing.
Yeah, and in regard to that, we're all over the map with speculation and opinions on Mike Pence, as Vice President Mike Pence, as the who's gaveling in accepting the electors and presenting them in some form or fashion today at 1 o'clock. So I didn't honestly think, kid, that he would do anything. I figured he would follow the letter of the law. But in Georgia a couple of nights ago, he said, we're going to have our day. We're going to hear the evidence and have our day on January 6th, which surprised me.
I think he was anticipating that there would be some official action from one of these state legislatures. This is in gray areas. I have constitutional scholars that argue both sides of this issue, but one of the things that they agree upon is that he is assigned the role of officiator. And in fact, in his responsibility carrying out his official duties, say that there is now an official request for a delay, the burden is on those who would object, and they would take it to court, because until a court then says that the officiator can't officiate, which I don't think they will say, he is in a stronger position than that as some ceremonial figurehead.
Can we just have a minute? Seriously, I promised you I'd let you go, and there's the music. But I want just a quick word about McConnell. Any prediction about what he's going to do here?
Look, I think he is a by-the-book guy. If, in fact, there's evidence that is presented, he'll do the right thing. But he's not going to bend over backwards and twist himself into a pretzel to make that happen. So we have to just keep pressing ahead.
Yes, okay. Ken Blackwell, American treasure. And by the way, Ken is really very involved in all of this. This is a busy day for him. So, Ken, we really appreciate your time. And God bless you and stay safe there. And we'll see you soon, okay?
Right back at you, Sandy. God
bless. Thanks a lot. Thank you. All right, Sandy Rios in the Morning. Oh, there's so much more to say. So stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.
We study all of the statistics and then we make our decisions. And there's nothing wrong with an informed decision. But sometimes we need to get back to the core truth of who we are as God's people. We need to learn what it means to live by faith.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, The Life God Blesses, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Friendships is offering an extraordinary opportunity to young men and women who want to grow in their walk with God, learn relief missions, experience the mission field, and become physically fit. Sound like something you'd be interested in? Learn more about Seahawks' one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins January 11th.
Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines socialism as an economic system in which the means of production are owned and controlled by the state. The distribution of goods are controlled by the state. It is a system where there is no private property. A stage of society in Marxist theory transitional between capitalism and communism. American socialists put the descriptor democratic in front of socialism because they hope to persuade you to vote for the elimination of private property. Make no mistake, socialism is socialism. There is no kinder, gentler form of it.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Many couples today are struggling with the agony of childlessness, but the scripture is full of stories of couples who, by God's grace and power, were able to bring children into the world despite years of frustration. In 1 Samuel, we're told of Hannah, whose womb the Lord had closed. Hannah reached the place where she wept long and bitter tears and refused to eat. Even her husband, who loved her, could not console her. Out of her deep distress, Hannah poured out her soul to the Lord and asked God to remember her and give her a son. God heard her prayer and gave her Samuel, one of the greatest men of God of all time. So if you are where Hannah was, do what Hannah did. Pour out your soul and your anguish and your bitter tears to God, and never ever forget that the womb that God has closed is also the womb that God can open.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Please join me in a moment of prayer. Dear Lord, this day is among the most important since you blessed our people with an exceptional nation under God, governed according to a constitution that guarantees unalienable rights bestowed upon us by you. The prospect that the majority in the U.S. Senate may be intent on radically transforming our country and its governing institutions adds further urgency to pending decisions about the 2020 presidential election. If both legal and illegal votes are allowed to determine its outcome, we may never again have free and fair elections, effectively dooming representative government and imperiling freedom. Please, give discernment, persuasiveness, and courage to those in Congress who will make the case today for restoring electoral integrity and safeguarding our republic, and help our people respond to the call to support them in doing so. Amen. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
This is something far worse than occurred in Watergate.
Threatening the Secretary of State of Georgia as a mobster would.
He demanded that they find votes to overturn the state's election results.
Pressuring the Georgia Republican Secretary of State to find enough votes to overturn his defeat.
If we have the 25th Amendment, because, you know, this, if you don't use it with them, when are they going to use it?
This morning, it's fair to ask whether he lost his mind.
He is mentally or psychologically impaired and unable to understand that what he was doing was false.
That's just a little mini montage. I actually had a long one for you. That's the Democrats objecting to elections on the floor. And it was in the year 2001. I think it's 2001, 2004, and 2016. And so there's a long montage of them, you know, Madam Chairman, I reject the electors because there was voter fraud and all of this. And so I wanted you to hear this because even from Republicans, there's been criticism of these wonderful patriots who are going to object to these electors today at great risk to themselves. By the way, they had this phone call strategizing last night and someone leaked it to Politico. So they wrote a whole article about what they're planning to do today. You know, D.C. is just filled with wickedness, shall I say? And the enemy is working overtime, and he's having pretty good success right now. But ultimately, he will not be successful. He will not be successful. And so when you get discouraged, just remember. Now, some of you, just remember who you serve and that he is ultimately the victor. And none of this happens unless he allows it. But don't think he's not aware of everything that's happening. And I think, you know, the pattern of God in the Old Testament certainly is when his people get so terribly wicked. Now, it was the Jews in the Old Testament, but loosely speaking, his people, the people that name the name of God and now of Jesus, when his people rebel and become sinful, and much like the culture in which they live, and disrespectful and ungrateful, and all of these other things, he has a lot of patience. He is slow to anger and of great mercy. But there comes a point when he recognizes, I think, as a loving father, as you do as a parent, those of you that are, that it is not good for you to let your children rebel or be spoiled. And so you have to step in and there has to be discipline. So if God should allow the Senate to be taken by, yeah, I know I'm making a broad statement, but I don't apologize and I'm not going to try to explain it very. There'll be some of you that will be appalled by this, but we have a leftist, two leftists in Georgia who look like they may pull this off, and then the Senate will be completely in the control of the left, and it's going to be a nightmare for this country. What we saw in Congress just a few days ago about them removing, trying to pass a rule or proposing a rule to remove any references to gender in discussions in the House or in laws passed, so that you can't say man, woman, he, she, mother, father, son, daughter, you know the drill, all of that. Can you imagine trying to operate in that environment? All of the Jim Jordans, the Louis Gohmerts, it's going to be, that's just one thing, and that's an inconvenience. It's not a life-threatening thing. But you're going to see the same thing in the Senate, and you're going to see an acceleration of the left's plans. Plus, you're going to have so much of vengeance seeking, payback time. I heard yesterday, I was listening to, I just went blank. My British friend who's filling in for Rush Limbaugh while he's sick, Mark Stein, he was having a conversation with a leftist who made it through the phone lines and basically said to Mark, he said, first of all, we're going to have a revolution, and all of these Trump supporters descending on D.C., he laughed, they're not going to accomplish anything. And then toward the end, he said, I hate you more than I love myself, which is kind of a challenge to respond to. But my point is, I don't think that some of us understand how very wicked and evil the left is, because their father is the father of all lies, who is the father of destruction and death. And so, and I think I've said that before, when it comes to China, I don't think that you and I can comprehend the wickedness of China. During COVID, locking its own people in their apartments and burning the apartments, taking women and forcing them to abort their babies, putting them in concentration camps and work labor camps. That's what China does. That's what North Korea does. That's what wickedness really looks like. But because we've not experienced it, we think, China, oh, great, cheap goods and big profits for Wall Street and big business. We don't understand wickedness. I think we've lived such good lives that we don't really understand what is about to face us. And, Jesus said we're sheep among wolves, and that's certainly true for Christians, because we, for the most part, I think we try to think higher thoughts. Jesus asked us to do that. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. We do try to, we don't always succeed, but we try to think higher thoughts. We certainly don't plot, for the most part, death against people. We don't hate people. We try to forgive them. That's our standard. But those rules don't apply when Satan, who is the prince of this world, is in charge, and that's why we are sheep among wolves. So I'm not saying that to frighten you. I'm saying that to prepare you, but also with a heavy dose of telling you that God has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And it's time to get really serious about our faith in him, isn't it? It's time to get really serious about, we always say, oh, I don't read my Bible enough. I don't pray enough. I don't do this. Well, you know what? You're going to feel an urgency to do that. And I have to tell you, that's going to unleash God's power in ways you've never seen. So just saying. Now, I want to get back to some more news, because there's some interesting things happening here. Let me just say it this way. Florida and Ron DeSantis are under tremendous attack. He's the governor of Florida. So there was a CNN reporter who approached him in a press conference a couple of days ago. And her name was Rosa Flores, and I want you to hear the exchange. It might, it might make you smile, and heaven knows we need to smile right now. Let's listen.
It was a very simple question. Why? What has gone wrong? But Governor Ron DeSantis wouldn't even let me finish asking my question. Take a listen.
Governor, what has gone wrong with the rollout of the vaccine that we've seen? Phone lines jammed, websites crashing.
It's a lot of demand. I mean, I think at the end of the day,
if I could finish my question.
You just said what has gone wrong, so I'm answering the question.
If I could complete the question, though.
So you're going to give a speech, or are you going to ask a question?
With all due respect, Governor,
you asked the question. I'm going
to
answer it.
Finish my question.
No, you're giving a speech. You asked the question.
I am trying to ask you the.
You're going to ask how many questions? You get three? They only got one question. Why do you get three?
With all due respect, Governor, I'm just asking if I could finish my question.
You didn't. You finished the question.
I did not. My full question is, what went wrong with the rollout of the vaccine when we've seen phone lines jammed, websites crashing?
So you're repeating your question.
To complete it for you, Governor, we've seen websites crash and also senior citizens waiting overnight for the vaccine.
Where was that at?
We've seen it in Duval, Broward, Orange, and Lee County.
And why was, like, in Lee, why did that happen? Did you investigate
why? That's my question to you, Governor. You're the governor of the state. I'm not the governor of the state.
Okay, but you didn't investigate why that happened, like, in Lee County. Why was there a big line? Did you investigate why?
Could you tell us why?
Because we distributed vaccine to hospitals, and the hospital said, first come, first serve. If you show up, we'll do it. So they didn't use a registration system. There wasn't anything that was done, and there's a lot of demand for it. So people are going to want to go ahead and get it.
So are you saying there was no plan then from the state to make sure that senior citizens didn't wait outside overnight?
So the state is not dictating to hospitals how, we're not dictating to Carlos Montoya how he runs his operations here. That would be a total disaster. These guys are much more competent to be able to deliver healthcare services than a state government could ever be.
All right, so I kind of love that. And let me just say, Daniel Horowitz has just written an article, which we'll put on our Facebook page. And basically, I'll just read the headline to you. With no lockdown or mask mandate, Florida has roughly the same hospitalization level as the 2018 flu season. With no mask mandate or lockdown, Florida has roughly the same hospitalization level as the 2018 flu season. I want to run a few other stats by you. In 2017, guess what the total deaths in the U.S. was? 2,813,503. In 2018, there were total U.S. deaths for that year were 2,839,205. That's an increase of about 40,000. In 2019, oh so long ago, the total deaths in the U.S. were 2,855,000. That's up 14,000 from 2018. And then in 2020, guess what it was? Total U.S. deaths in the United States in the year 2020 was 2,717,545. That's down 138,000 since 2019. But wait a minute. Don't we have like 350,000 people dead from COVID? Aren't people dying on the streets? Aren't they being carried out in body bags? Isn't there like a pandemic? Aren't we in a crisis? Well, maybe not so much based on those numbers. Tucker Carlson had Ron DeSantis on last night, and they did such a great job. I want you to hear it because, like I said, maybe you could use some encouragement. Here it is, clip three.
I just can't help but notice that as the entire Northeast moves to your state, and as the numbers become clear that Florida has managed this pandemic far better than any Northeastern state, that you're coming under all this media criticism. Why do you think that is?
Well, Tucker, look, I am totally willing to wear the criticism of a badge of honor if it means that my state has a state in which every parent has a right to send their kid to in-person instruction. Everybody has a right to work and a right to pursue their vocations. Every business has a right to operate. And we've done that. We've trusted people. And as you mentioned, you know, our COVID mortality is less than the national average per capita. And on the vaccine front, we were the first state in the country to begin vaccinating citizens, residents of long-term care facilities. And we were the first state in the country to start vaccinating our broader over 65 population. And so we're very proud of leading those efforts. And I think you're going to continue to see a lot of good things. Your guest before mentioned we're partnering with supermarkets even and really papering this across the state. So I'm happy for the criticism because you know what? I don't seek validation by the media. What I seek is supporting the citizens of my state. And I can tell you, as this pandemic has worn on, the number of times someone has come up to me with tears in their eyes saying, if it wasn't for you, my kid would not be in school and I would not have my job. Thank you. That is why I'm in this job.
How many huge department stores were burned down in the state of Florida during the BLM riots? How many cities do you have in Florida that are empty husks, that are ghost towns, shells, like, say, Camden, New Jersey, or five other cities in New Jersey? Do you have a lot of that in the state of Florida?
No, you know, we're doing very well economically. Obviously, our tourism industry has gotten hit. That's recovering. Home sales are up, I think, 22% year over year. People have opportunities in Florida. They're seeing that. They're coming here for greener pastures. And yes, we take law and order very seriously. We want to protect our citizens' safety. And we're obviously not going to tolerate a Minneapolis-type situation. When that was going on this summer, I had the National Guard on standby. We were working with our localities in the state of Florida, and you didn't see there here what you saw there.
All right, so that's Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida. And I want to repeat what I said to you. Daniel Horowitz just did an article in which he says Florida, with no lockdown or mask mandate, has roughly the same hospitalization level as the 2018 flu season. Now, I recognize this is kind of like a shocking piece of information for most of you, because in the rest of the states, most of them, it's even in Republican states, it's just amazing, the lockdowns, the fear. It's unbelievable to me. That's why I'm going to this great detail to talk to you about the death rates are down this year from 2019. The death rate is down. And I played yesterday for you. Actually, Adam, can you find that coroner clip that we played yesterday where she talks about, people dying from other things besides the claiming that it's COVID, but it's not that. I just want you to hear it again because I want you to know the truth. And you know what, report? It's an uphill battle, I know, because around where I am, people are getting more and more worried. It's worse and worse and worse. I see people more angry, more frightened than they ever were, like back in the spring. So do we have the clip? Okay, let's listen to this. This is a coroner speaking up about what she's seeing about the COVID deaths.
It's the first time Coroner Brenda Bach has felt so frustrated by a cause of death.
These two people had tested positive for COVID. But that's not what killed them. The gunshot wound is what killed them. I had not even finished my investigation.
When the state listed the gunshot victims as dying with COVID.
All right, you get the gist of it, don't you? Now, look, every time I say this, I get email from people that are upset with me, and that's fine. I want you to feel free to email me. It's sandy@afr.net. And express your frustration with me if this is upsetting you. But I want you to be free. When I go out and I do everything I can not to wear a mask, sometimes I have to because of, doctor's offices and that kind of thing. And people, yeah, they're pretty hostile. I told you about a journalist yesterday who tweeted basically he just wanted to go out and shoot and kill a person that wasn't wearing a mask. He was so angry because it's their responsibility that people are dying. But of course, you know that's nonsense, don't you? Because it sounds like most of you actually believe that. But the figures don't prove that. The death rate is down this year by 138,000. The cases of flu are non-existent. It's like 0.1 or 0.01%. People have flu. Really? Really? Do you think the flu has disappeared? Or could it be that somehow people are being attributed to having COVID who really have the flu? Is that possible? Is it more possible that the flu has just disappeared from the United States? Really? Think about this. I want you to be a free people, free thinking, free from the bondage of this. And I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying it's immoral or wrong to wear a mask. I've never said that. But it is wrong to me to be more afraid of potentially catching an illness that has hardly any chance of taking your life. And you don't go to church and you don't go to school and you allow businesses to shutter and people to go out of business and just regular folk not to be able to feed their children, depression, drugs. You're okay with that. I just, please, think of more than just your own circumstances. Yes, be careful because COVID is a real thing. People are getting sick, but this is a deception that has dangerous implications. All right, well, today is a really big day. And honestly, go to your television and turn on C-SPAN. Let's watch it. But mostly just be in prayer, okay? Just pray that God will have mercy and that he will protect all those people that are fighting so hard for us today as we, are in our various houses around the country. God bless each and every one of you. And I hope you're encouraged and not discouraged because we have a wonderful, great God who can be trusted. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.